We are honored to have Wright Lassiter III, Common Spirit CEO, and Mike Browning, CFO, presenting today. Please welcome Mr. Lassiter, who will kick off today's presentation. Thank you, Wright.
Morning, everyone. It's always good to kick off, and Chris and Megan said that we're going to have a great day today, so I'm going to work really hard to make sure that we don't make them a liar with our presentation. And it's also great to have an audience that's full versus having a bunch of empty chairs, because then comments I might make about my colleagues in the room wouldn't resonate with anyone. So listen, we Mike and I are excited to present today. As you see by the title, we're going to spend a little time talking about our evolution. We're going to spend a fair amount of time talking about our approach to innovation. And we're going to share with you how we're beginning to really see the impact of scale take hold across Common Spirit. So look forward to sharing a few things with you. The disclaimers are there for the finance and other legal people, and so I'll move beyond that very quickly and just share the agenda. So what we're going to try to cover for the next 22 minutes and 53 seconds are these items. We're going to spend a little time on our foundation. You heard a little bit about that in our opening. We're going to talk about how we're trying to transform for tomorrow. We're going to share some examples of how we're delivering impact across the communities we serve and talk a bit about our strategic vision. We'll begin with a slide which some of you have seen earlier iterations of this before, but this slide just really attempts to validate what you heard from Megan, which is we're a large, complex organization trying to take advantage of size and scale, delivering care across the continuum of healthcare, delivering care in multiple communities, multiple sites, and multiple urban, rural, suburban environments. And we're trying to demonstrate that we can do that at scale and do that in a way that transforms healthcare for today and tomorrow. As you look across this slide, you'll see things that that we're proud of. I think we all try to show a little brag booking in our presentations, and so we're excited about a lot of things. We're excited that Forbes over the last 2 years has named us one of America's Dream Employers. We're excited about the fact that the colleagues who come into our organization feel that this is a great place to work. We can continue to see rising retention rates for our new hires. We see our employees through both our semi-annual employee check-ins and our annual surveys that engagement is high and continues to grow. As you heard in the introduction, we're diverse. We treat about 25 million folks on an annual basis. We train a number of more than 3,000 residents and fellows across a number of specialties in our multiple academic training sites. We're committed to the community. You heard a number around community investment, around charity care, and the like. And so we are committed to serving in all environments across the country, those with affluent populations and those with high vulnerability. And we believe that's why we exist, and we will continue to do that. Those who know me know that I'm not wildly excited about history, but the team always tells me that I should reflect a little bit on where we've come from. And as an organization, we're fairly nascent. While we have hospitals that have served their communities for 100 plus years, as an organization, we're still fairly nascent. As most of you know, we came together in 2019, a merger of two legacy organizations that served communities across the country for decades and frankly, centuries. When that merger closed, the one thing that board and leadership didn't plan on was a pandemic, as none of us did in this room. And so we spent time, frankly, not focusing initially on what we would have planned us to focus on, which is how do you bring the company together? But we focused on how do we serve the communities who needed us, as all of you in the provider community did as well. We then went through what you would expect in terms of bringing a company together, going through various iterations of leadership transitions that happens when you have folks near retirement. I came into the organization at the end of 2022, building teams and the like. And we've been really repositioning the organization for what we came together for, which was transformation. We came together for transformation both internally and externally. And so we've been focused very much on that. And as you look at what's in place around 2024, 2025 and beyond, our focus was repositioning the organization first around its operating model, then around its leadership structure, and then around aligning the organization for, frankly, fast-paced transformation. And so we're at a place today where I'm joined by our latest addition to our team, a CFO with more than three decades of experience, which I'll chat about a little bit later. I'll talk to you about one of the initiatives that we believe is a watershed to our future success, and that is Project Impact. We'll talk about CommonSpirit 2030 very briefly, which is the evolving strategic plan to take the organization forward. We'll spend a bit of time talking about what we believe is one of the strong points of our organization, and that is digital transformation and our use of AI and related technologies to transform care, operations, and our focus on our most important asset, human capital. You see the things that you should have in a JP Morgan presentation. You see when we've done various financings, and most recently we did a large financing last fall. Our financings continue to be very successful, oversubscribed, great spreads. As I look at our capital markets team and investment team in the front row, our team does an amazing job of positioning this organization for success in the financial markets, and so we've done well there. Most recently, just last quarter. Systemness. So for some, this is a overused phrase. For others, it's a mantra that they try to live off of. We are trying to focus very intently on systemness. We're trying to ensure that, that the benefits of a wildly large and complex organization actually come to fruition. Being big is actually not interesting, and it doesn't actually lead to success. What leads to success is a unified operation. And so just the fact that we're a $40 billion organization, as I say to folks, that's nothing to brag about in and of itself, unless we're using that $40 billion of revenue to actually drive innovation, to drive transformation that couldn't be done at a smaller scale. And so what you see on this slide are the kinds of things we've been trying to do over the last 2.5 years to create the kind of systemness that allows us to take advantage of our scale, the kind of systemness that allows us to that's led to the improvement of our financial operations year over year, the kind of scale that has led to improving employee engagement year over year, the kind of systemness that's led to improving quality and safety year over year. And so with all the various panels you see on this slide, I could spend probably the whole presentation going on any one of those, which I won't do. But what I would tell you that we're attempting to do here is to create an organization that, you know, some would say large organizations, it's hard for large organizations to be nimble. It's hard for large organizations to be wildly efficient with decision making, and we're trying to do just that. We're trying to buck the norm. And so we have done all the things you see in place here to sort of demonstrate the fruits of our labor. When you see that now almost 90% of our hospitals are in the top two tiers of Leapfrog, when you see the patient experience performance we've had in the last 2 years, when you see the growth in revenue year over year, when you see the exceeding of our quality and safety metrics, 10 out of 12 of those metrics, when you see almost a 50% increase in EBITDA year over year, those are the kinds of things that we believe are bearing fruit and showing that the work that we're doing around creating a unified ministry are actually taking hold across CommonSpirit. When I think about complexity, I've never encountered an organization that was as complex from a technology perspective as CommonSpirit was when I arrived, and that's both a loving term and a Okay, it's not a loving term. All right, fine. It was we were wildly complex, and here we were just trying to demonstrate that, you know, having 19 EHRs and a dozen ERPs is not your friend, and does not derive to the benefit of anyone. Maybe except someone who wants to live in a castle with a moat around it and kind of try to do their own thing. But that doesn't work particularly well in an organization that's trying to focus on a unified culture, on unified operations and the like. And so we were working through what some of you have done in different scales, in some cases years ago. We are in the midst of doing what has to be done, which is creating unified core systems. And so we are well along this journey. I'm excited that we'll have the ERP transformation done by summer of next year. I'd love to say that our EHR transformation will be done sooner, but with 160 hospitals and all of the varying information systems we have. And for some reason, physicians and nurses just don't like to be just disrupted in a willy-nilly manner. And we're glad for that so that we keep patient quality and safety at a high level. We're focusing on getting these things done, frankly, over the next several years with our EHR. I wanted to spend some time today just focusing here. And again, at some point in time, we might do a presentation just on CommonSpirit's focus around AI. We really believe that technology will be the significant unlock for our organization to transform well beyond what we could ever imagine. As I stand here in front of you, we have 242 AI solutions deployed across our enterprise. Most of them now are approaching enterprise application and not just point solutions. And what we were attempting to do on this slide was just to share with you a few examples of the kind of impact we're seeing related to our AI transformation. But I'm really excited that Dr. Tom McGinn and Daniel Bartzi are leading the effort across our organization to prepare us for tomorrow. And as you see with this slide, we really have three pillars that we're utilizing around our AI transformation. We're starting with the notion we want to strengthen clinical excellence. Absolutely, we need to improve operational performance. For those of you that are in the sphere of listening to our administration, as you know, Dr. Oz and Chris Klump and Dan Broman and all that team is around San Francisco, roaming around us as we speak, and they're very, very, very focused on taking costs out. They're very, very focused on using technology to drive innovation in healthcare. They're open to ideas that we might present to them. And so obviously we're not doing any of this because of any current administration or any current focus in Washington explicitly. But we believe very strongly that we can have a significant impact on driving down our operating costs. We can have a significant impact on continuing to drive up higher quality and safety across the organization. And we believe very, very significantly that we can equip the country's most prepared workforce using technology. Excuse me. And so as you see on the slide here, we are very focused on, maybe beginning with point solutions, but looking for platform opportunities to scale technology across our organization. You see a number of examples here, and so I'm looking at the time and make sure I keep focused on the time so that Mike doesn't have to pull a hook on me on his first JP Morgan presentation. A few examples that we would share with you, scaling AI across 50 facilities related to neuro emergencies and analyzing about 60,000 scans on an annual basis to improve care in our neuro units. The amount of lives we've saved related to sepsis monitoring, stroke interventions have been really significantly important. You know, we're at a point in time in healthcare where we're deploying AI for all the right reasons, but we're also at times deploying AI for what I would consider the wrong reasons. We're deploying AI to protect ourselves, to protect our revenues, because at times AI is being deployed to reduce our revenues. So we're using AI with our revenue cycle. We're using AI to limit denials. We're using AI to interface with insurers. And you know, my call out to the insurers is that what we really need to spend our time focusing on is how do we ensure that we can take costs and complexity out of our organizations and not think about AI in a militarized zone of pointing it against ourselves, pointing it against insurers, pointing against delivery systems. We're still doing too much of that. But a lot of our AI around operational improvement is focused on the rev cycle. And I'd love for us to deploy more of our AI for our employees and our patients and less about getting paid properly. But we're deploying a lot of it for that purpose as well. And then I would say again, as I mentioned, we're trying to deploy AI to have the most prepared workforce in America. We all know that that AI is a disruptor. About 18 months ago, we launched our AI Workforce Readiness Academy, where we have now trained several thousand employees as we think about reskilling and or upskilling. I think we all know that if we're going to significantly reduce costs across our enterprises, AI will frankly reduce headcount, because it will replace things that human beings are doing. We're very focused on ensuring that we find a way to retrain, to upskill and reskill our workforce so that our health systems can continue to be the economic drivers that they are around employment across the communities that we serve. We want to just share briefly here, and I know that you all have our slides, that another significant focus of ours is how do we do things with partners, and how do we make investments that allows us to drive performance across the organization. We continue to use our technology partnerships and our investments in up-and-coming companies for that purpose. I think, as you know, we, like many of you, have investment funds that we are using to drive partnerships, as you see on the slide. We believe very strongly in a partnership-first model. We believe very strongly in co-investing with other partners that can leverage what we are doing. We're going to continue that process as we go forward. And frankly, I'm challenging our innovation team to be more aggressive in our partnerships as we go forward. Partnerships do yield results, and we shared in the slide deck a few examples from two of our partnerships, one in the ER and one, as I mentioned, related to financial performance. I won't spend much time on that because the clock for some reason keeps ticking very fast, and I'm getting near the end of the time when I need to transition to Mr. Browning. I would also just tell you that one of the questions I get asked constantly when I come to meetings like this is, what are you doing with CommonSpirit's portfolio? Where are you with acquisitions, divestitures, et cetera? And I would say that we continue to focus very intently on first and foremost having the greatest performance of the portfolio that we have. We are looking very critically at, is CommonSpirit the best place to serve every community that we currently serve? And we are making some decisions to transition parts of our portfolio to other providers who we believe can do that community better than we can. So those decisions we've made about a half dozen of those. We'll be announcing a couple in the next quarter. And then we're also looking very aggressively at how do we augment our portfolio, particularly around ambulatory care and particularly around communities that need us more intently than we have today. I highlighted earlier Project Impact, and so let me just transition to that before I ask Mike to come up and share a few bits of his focus for the next 18 months. As we all know, margins for most of us are not where we'd like them to be. And for my organization, while our margins have improved every year since I've arrived, the board and I feel very strongly that we can do better. And so we launched Project Impact about 6 months ago, which we believe over the next 30 months will position Common Spirit in a way that's never been positioned before from an operating performance perspective. It's both around leveraging technology, as you see on the slide. It's around leveraging our clinical core. It is around productivity improvements and the like. It's around changing how we do what we do. And while we don't talk specifically about what the margin improvement numbers will be here on a forward-looking basis, we feel very comfortable that by fiscal 28, our organization will be in a place to produce the kind of operating performance that our bond rating agencies and bond holders would be very comfortable with, and would lead us to the kind of cash flow performance that our organization hasn't seen in its recent past, or frankly, in its any past. And so I feel very comfortable with the work that our team is doing. I mentioned that I was going to leave Mike Browning almost no time for his part of the presentation, which I think I've effectively done. But I'm excited to introduce Mike Browning, who's our new Chief Financial Officer. Mike has been on board officially for just about 2 weeks. Many of you know Mike better than I do because you've worked with him over several decades, but he has a long history of leadership with senior teams in driving great performance no matter the odds. And so I'm glad to have him on my team as my partner as Chief Financial Officer. And let me turn it over to Mike Browning. Thank you.
Thanks, Wright. It's a pleasure to be here today. It's also a pleasure to be part of the Common Spirit team. Wright's assembled a really good team, but what I've learned in the short time I've been there, you've got your presentation version and then your narrative. So you're getting the narrative. So with a few minutes left, I will hit some key spots. So really what Wright talked to you about is what's been done historically and where we are today. What I want to share with you all today is that Wright's assembled a great team. Sherry Shapiro and her team have developed a really solid strategy. It's aggressive and it's thorough. And so it's up to us to be able to implement that over time. Project Impact is one of the keys to be able to help us do that. But as we look back somewhat, as you look at the volume increases, you can see here volume's up 3.4% year over year. Revenues are up 8%. So the things Wright talked about are really resonating in the volume side. I would say in our business, growing volume is one of the hardest things we do, and we're seeing that success. Lisa Zuckerman and her team do a phenomenal job on the investment side. So we not only beat the market, we're beating our benchmark metrics as well. So you can see the $1.7 billion, and it is turning into profitability. So we can have volume, and we can do all the right things, and it doesn't turn into profitability, but you can see here our margin has increased. The best news is that it's increased in the first quarter as well. So this just wasn't a one-year blip. We've seen Q1 be strong. I can't talk about Q2, but I'm optimistic about that as to where it may be when we report those numbers. So we're seeing the things Wright's talking about really impacting our financials, which is positive. But that's really not enough. As all of you know, what we're doing today has to improve with the headwinds that are coming. So as you look at the right-hand side of the slide, I won't go through each of these, but we built solid teams who are working on this, whether it's rev cycle, supply chain. Christy Waters and her team have done a really nice job in supply chain of flattening the curve. Now we have to bend it. And those are things we'll do in supply chain and purchase services. Productivity is important, but you have to transform how you do it. You can't just cut cost. Dr. McGinn and his team have done a great job with locums. We have our own internal locums company that's not only have reduced our costs, it's improved quality and service as well. So we're doing a lot of cool stuff that's not only benefiting the patient, but it's being more efficient how we do it. So my next 180 days, really it's our team's 180 days, Terica Richardson and Michelle Johnson to Johnny are really leading Project Impact and doing a really good job. It's really a way to transform our business and make us better financially as well. So it's not all about the numbers of reducing costs. It really is improving the rev cycle. We do a decent job with rev cycle today. We can do better. We have really good partners. We have to have them perform better. We do a lot of things internally. We have have to do better as well. A 1% improvement in our rev cycle is $400 million. So if we can improve a couple percent there, that does alleviate some of the pressure on the financials. So you'll see us continue to press on the rev cycle. Having a sense of urgency. I think Tarek and Michelle have done a great job of creating the sense of urgency within the senior team. We have to have that go throughout our organization. Wright had a leadership team yesterday discussion, which all of our leaders in the organization really focused on project impact and the importance of it. And what I will emphasize to the team and each of you in here that are not-for-profits, you know this, every dollar we earn gets put right back in our system. So if we do better financially, we can invest more in people, more in benefits, more in equipment and technology and those things we do. So it does circularly come through that. So that is really important. And finally, Wright talked about ERP systems. Can you imagine running 12 ERP systems? Any idea how long it takes us to close? 5 days. Our team closes in 5 days. Dan Morissette did a great job of having a strong finance team, and they do a really nice job. But you can imagine the pain and effort they go through every single month to try to put 12 systems together to create a financial system. We're data lacking in some things, so I'm excited about the ERP system. As Bright said, that'll be next year we get that implemented. And so you'll see us progress, not only because we've got the processes in place, but we'll have the data to help us make better decisions. With that, I'll turn it back to Wright to close.
As we are at our time, I would just say this. Keep watching out for the innovation across Common Spirit. We feel really excited about the progress we've made thus far. We're very focused on driving discipline across our organization, staying very focused on our mission, and focusing on both the internal and external transformation that we shared with you today. I wish you all success. I wish us all collective success as we go forward in serving the communities that depend on us so much. Thank you so much.